many of them disobeyed it when it got in their way. To be clear, I don't think we should give up on everything in the Constitution. The Constitution has many important and inspiring provisions, but we should obey these because they are important and inspiring, not because a bunch of people who are now long dead favored them 2 centuries ago.
Neo Neocon is a blogger on neoneocon.com. She uses the alias Neo Neocon because she was previously a lifelong liberal Democrat. Born in New York City and living in New England, surrounded by liberals on all sides, she has converted into becoming a conservative. A recent post on her site is entitled Lewis Michael Seidman, the Con Law Professor versus the Constitution. It goes into great detail about the so-called law professor who says we don't need a U.S. Constitution. Astounding, isn't it? Miss Neo, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you very much.
So tell us, why did you write the article about Seidman's insanity? What about Seidman's insane thinking drew your attention to him?
Well, he got a lot of attention, not just from me, but all around the blogosphere. And I and others were drawn by the fact that here he is, in fact, a constitutional law professor at Georgetown, who is essentially saying, let's get rid of the Constitution, or at least the parts we don't like, which is both a somewhat radical proposition, and particularly radical for a constitutional law professor, one might think. And it was published in the New York Times, so it got a lot of press.
You go on to say there are parts of the Constitution this jerk likes and parts he doesn't like. In other words, he's greater than the Founding Fathers.
Well, he doesn't go into enormous detail on that, except to say that he thinks one can pick and choose, and he mentions that, I believe, I don't have it in front of me, but he mentions things like freedom of speech as something, of course, we would keep. And he basically, the attack on the Constitution is more of an ad hominem attack on the actual founders, and the fact that he actually calls, I have a quote here, he says, the Constitution, with its archaic, idiosyncratic, and downright evil provisions, I believe is what he says, and his attack on the founders is essentially because they're propertied dead white men who wrote hundreds of years ago, and again, this, I believe, is a quote, thought it was fine to own slaves, which somehow invalidates them as writers of the Constitution and, I guess, what's in it. And there are some historical inaccuracies there as well in terms of the founders certainly were not a group who thought it was absolutely fine to own slaves. And I won't go into the whole history there, but it's really quite an extraordinary op-ed piece, I have to say.
You also mentioned that this line of thinking isn't unique to him. How widespread is this desire to get rid of the U.S. Constitution?
Professor Seidman is actually part of a school of legal academia, which is called Critical Legal Studies and had a certain vogue in the 70s and 80s in particular, but is still around. And so I don't think he's alone, exactly, but there's been a movement both in progressivism and leftism to sort of, you know, do away with the parts of the Constitution that hamper them, and also in the law to consider law not an absolute right and wrong kind of thing, but a postmodern expression of essentially politics by another name. It's my impression, I'm not an expert on this, nor am I an expert on Professor Seidman, but it's my impression that he's part of that movement. And obviously you would think that to teach the Constitution, one should have some sort of basic respect for it. He also says in the article that it took him 40 years to get to this point. He makes some reference to 40 years. But it does seem to me that at this point, one would be wondering how he is teaching constitutional law.
Why do you think the Old York Times published this article of Seidman's now? Is it because Obama is in power and they want him to have absolute power?
Well, that's an excellent question. I can't say I know the answer. I certainly think that there's probably, you know, there may be extremists who feel that way. But in general, it's certainly not an accepted conservative or Republican point of view that the Constitution is a particularly malleable instrument that we can throw away what we don't want in it. The Constitution has a built-in way of amending it, which strangely enough is called amending it, passing amendments. And so it does have its own built-in ability to move with the times. But it's more of a progressive or leftist thing to be impatient with that kind of process or that kind of movement and to think that the end justifies the means. And I assume that's what's being said here. It's a little bit surprising that, or maybe not surprising if you think about it, I guess, the timing of the op-ed. It's interesting that a lot of people agree that with Obama's second term, his election to the second term, the Democratic Party is moving in a more liberal leftist direction. And this sort of an op-ed piece may be a kind of, you know, testing the waters for just how far that can go.
What changed in your thinking, which began your conversion into becoming a conservative?
Well, that's one of those things where I could say, well, read my blog, because I've written a great deal about it on my blog. But the summary version would be, after 9/11, I became more interested in politics in general, and I started reading on the internet. I stopped getting my newspapers, and I was reading online newspapers all over the world, media all over the world, and I discovered over a period of time, it was probably about 2 years, that the more interesting and intellectually simpatico material seemed to be coming more from the right than from the left for me. And this was a tremendous shock to me because I'd been a liberal Democrat, or thought I was, my entire life, although I wasn't particularly political. I was always interested in the world of ideas, but I wasn't particularly political. So it was a shock. It took some adjustment to accept my inner conservative, you might say. But that was about 10 years ago that was all happening. So I'm more used to it now. I'm not such a neo anymore, but I still use the name.
Is it more commonplace now? Is this happening more often, do you think? Is it because of Obama?
Well, I think it's always been happening. There's even a certain literature of it that goes back a ways. But I discovered that a lot of people who were interested in blogs on the right, particularly the ones I read, had some sort of political change experience at some point in their lives. And so when I started my blog, it was with that sort of idea of providing a forum in particular for discussing that process, although I discussed, again, tons of other things, many, many other things. But I found it was more common than I'd ever thought.
How are your friends and family handling your conversion from liberal Democrat to patriotic American?
Well, fortunately, now it's old news to them. They originally were very shocked, and there was quite a bit of conflict with some people. Some people took it in stride. But there were some verbal fireworks from some people who were very shocked. I lost one or two friends, not good friends. I'm not sure it was over that. I think it was. But in general, there's been conflict and some distance and some tension. And there's always problems when I'm in social situations with new people, if it comes up. It's often a shock to people. I'm not sure why, but that's what happens. I've even had people say to me things like, I can't believe it. You're intelligent and you're conservative. I can't believe it. Which is quite a statement when you think about it. I've had people say that to my face.
Where can we read more?
NeoNeoCon. So NeoNeoCon. com. Very simple.
Neo, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you.
I'm Michael Savage, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.